This is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Sports Fever. It's a little bit of a different sounding show today. It's myself, Noah Gugliotta, otherwise known as
Googs.
It's weird saying it myself.
Yeah, that's got to feel weird.
Huh? I know, right? Mr. Sean Johnson with a nice Dallas Cowboys pennant slash flag and Knicks one behind him right now in his room. How you doing, Sean?
Doing all right. I'm doing all right. Ready to talk up the Rangers.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting. It's exciting when the three of us. I miss Anthony, but he's having some internet issues tonight. And I'm glad that we have another Rangers fan that's getting in the fold. I know me and Sean kind of started off. Got our other host who's here today, Mr. Dom DeRosa, into it. How you doing, Dom?
How we doing, man? I'm great. How are you?
Good, good, good. It's good to see you guys. So this third segment is, as we've been talking about, as Sean mentioned, we're going to be talking about the New York Rangers. Now, this is what I'm so happy about coming into college, coming into, Ryder. For me, it was the Yankees, Jets, and Rangers that were my favorite teams. And the fact that I found somebody like Sean, who was so passionate, and got somebody like Dom and even Anthony, who would want to be into a team like the Rangers, who I think it's a weird New York story. Like, they're not the Yankees in the sense that they're not this dominant organization that has been winning all this stuff. And the fan base is still not the most popular, I would say, especially amongst other New York and New Jersey, you know, the Devils and the Islanders fans. But it's a different fan base than the Yankees. It's a more underground kind of group of people who are just looking for wins and looking for a team to play good. So Sean, we'll first get into, like, you know, what is it like being a Rangers fan right now, you know, right after COVID, and how have you kind of been adjusting to it?
So as you know so well, Noah, yeah. You know, the last few years for us, just, you know, as Rangers fans, have been a little weird.
Yeah.
You know, besides with COVID going on and everything, and just by team expectations alone, you know, this team, they haven't been expected to be great, which is fine. You know, we've kind of been riding with the process for the last few years. We've been rebuilding, getting key players, you know, having them pan out, which is awesome. So, you know, it's been a little bit of a ride, but now that we're here, it's awesome. You know, we are technically the second best team in the league. I don't know if you look at points or anything right now. I believe we still are second best in the league, but the NHL actually came out with a list of what is that called? Power rankings. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word. And they had the Rangers at 2. That was awesome to see. Didn't think I'd be seeing that for the next few years.
Neither, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I will say the turnaround was pretty fast for us. I was expecting, you know, as much as it would have sucked, I was expecting maybe a year or two more to start really building on, especially last year. You know, we didn't even make the playoffs. We had a lot of positive things about our team, but, you know, at the same time, there were a lot of holes. But, you know, we look very good right now. We have some great players on the team, and Adam Fox, you know, he's producing as usual. Panarin, he's a point beast. So Shesterkin too, I think he's even kind of taken a step further from what we expect him to be so far. And I know I mentioned him already, but Adam Fox, man, he continues to impress me. I forgot how many points he had last season. It might have been 47.
It was It was in that realm with, you know, because the 56 game season.
Yeah. So technically it was 47. Yeah. So we're around what would have been the halfway point like last year, and he's already got 29 points. So
crazy.
I think that he's going to go above and beyond. Obviously, we did have the shorter season, but he's going to go above and beyond the amount of points he had last season.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you kind of brought it to where you did about with COVID. It did change a lot. You know, in the middle of a season, me, Sean, and I don't know if it was Dom, but I remember watching the Rangers-Dallas Stars game with Sean. I think it was, yeah, and it was right before COVID, and we were finding out all this information, and things just completely derailed the season, you know, COVID did. And you have this kind of break in the season, and the NHL and all these leagues are trying to figure it out. Rangers make the playoffs in a kind of weird sense because, you know, they expanded it to the 24 teams and everything, and they got that experience, and then go the next season and you're seeing kind of the growing pains, but they're still making leaps and bounds and they're still have glimpses of that. And that was really cool to see. And then, you know, Dom, I know that you're newer to this, but I'm so impressed with both of you, the knowledge that you've been able to, seriously, the knowledge that you guys have been kind of able to acquire, because like there's things you've brought up to me that I've been watching the Rangers since 2010, 2011, and I'm sure Sean's been doing the same a long time, but it's like you guys bring up things that I don't even think about, captain talks and different things like the shots that we all have had the same kind of thoughts about. So Dom, like we'll get into more of the Rangers talk this season, but how has it been learning about the sport of hockey through watching the Rangers?
It's been fun, man. And you know, the thing I like about the Rangers here is that when they're young and there's so much talent and depth on that team, it's so fun to watch. It's not like you're just focusing on one player on a team that's only good, and then the rest are just, you don't care about. Yeah. This team, man, you could feel the connection. You know, you have that heart for New York, and it's just so exciting. You just root for everyone on that team, whether they stay or whether they go. It's been great being a hockey fan, thanks to you two. That's why I became a Rangers guy. Part of the crew, Islanders stink. I was actually going to make a meme where the most overrated show in The Office, Pam is in the office or something, and they show a picture, and she's like, it's the same picture. I was going to put a picture of the Islanders and then a trash can next to it as the other one. But, you know, maybe.
That's funny, but we don't tolerate Office.
yeah, nor do I. Don't worry. But,
no. I mean, we don't tolerate Office. What's the word I'm looking for? Bashing The Office. Come on, The Office is good.
No, Sean's point.
The Office is so good.
Okay, wait. Let's quickly derail the conversation because this is an interesting topic. So we have Dom. You're saying, have you seen The Office?
I've seen plenty of it because back in high school, I was in AP History, the only smart class I was probably ever in, and we would end up early, just like the whole year or whatever. We'd end the course really early, so then everyone was like, let's watch The Office, right? So everyone's like, oh, it's so funny, this episode. So the teacher puts it on, he's a cool dude. No one's laughing the whole time. Not a peep, not a soul. And some of it's funny at times. I really like Kevin. But otherwise than that, it's dry humor that doesn't fit me.
Okay, see, this is interesting. Right. Sean, you're saying you love The Office.
Yeah, I'd say I'm a fan of The Office.
Okay, because I was like, you know, you get on those bandwagons, you're like, I'll never watch it. Well, I did during quarantine because you got to figure out something to watch. And I will say this, I liked it, okay?
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't. I'm not head over heels for it.
Okay, because
it was a good show.
That's one. Okay, good show. Yeah, that's fair. I'm a little with Dom in a way because it is hard. Like some of those, like some of that humor is a little like, you know, it's hard.
I could see it.
Like Michael Scott is great. And one of my favorite characters is Andy Bernard.
I love Andy.
Andy's great. But like,
Nard Dog.
The Nard Dog is a legend. But like see Jim to me and Pam, horribly unfunny. Personally.
Right. Yeah.
I never understood, and people thought they were so, maybe they didn't think they were funny, but I don't know if, I swear to God, of the 9 seasons, I watched every single episode, I don't know if I laughed once at either of them.
Especially when Michael Scott leaves, like.
Yeah, you know, but specifically those two, I'm curious to see, because You know, I think that's fair to like the show. I know we're off topic, but I still have the time. Okay. All right, we'll get back on. I'm curious because it is a good conversation. It's one of those shows that I talk to a lot of people that absolutely love it. And then you talk to some and they're like, I've seen it. It's good, but it's not my, you know, it's good. It's good.
Mm-hmm. It's just, I'll never forget, especially when I went to college. I'm just trying to be funny here because I'm going to spit the facts. Every sorority girl would have their stickers, ZTA, OMG, right? They would have the office stickers with the Dwight heads. You would go into a Starbucks and you're just swarmed when they open their laptops. They put on the office. I was one time working on a project for, you know, Noah, this is for you and me, the teacher that always said, gentlemen, right? I was doing that. And this girl who I was working with doesn't even work with me. She opens up her own personal laptop, goes to like The Office season 4, episode 11, and just starts watching.
So there's something deep-seated there, Dom.
It's a little personal now.
Yeah, because it's like The Office screwed me out of that partnership that should have helped me. I understand that. No, it's a good show. It's not, you know, I personally like Seinfeld a little bit better, a Kirby. Yep.
Yeah, and people question Seinfeld too. People either or they're like, they don't find that kind of humor. Agreed. It's like more hidden humor rather than dry humor. You know, you got to be able to be quick-witted with it.
Yes. But it's a little more highbrow, I would say. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, whereas, that's what's funny. Seinfeld's highbrow, but I would say Curb is more like in your face. Well, it depends on the episode too. Like a lot of it is, some episodes are really like highbrow, kind of, you have to know the joke, what's going on. And then other ones are just hitting you in the face with like physical, whatever.
Noah, I do want to ask you something. Sean, have you ever watched Seinfeld?
It's actually kind of ironic. I just like literally within the last week or two, just started watching the first few episodes.
Let's go.
Yeah, Pat, the first three seasons, and then you're good.
I think it's funny now. And yeah. I'm like only a few episodes in, and I've had some good laughs.
Good. All right. Good.
Who's your favorite? I'm very curious to hear this because I'll let you know mine.
You asking me?
Both of you. But you want me to go first?
Go, Dom, because it's hard for me.
Kramer.
See, yeah, my dad.
Kramer and George, they're so tight.
To me, it's hard. They're all great and they all compliment each other so well. But for me, I probably laugh at George more, but I laugh harder at Kramer, if that makes sense. I think that's where I go.
I love the way you put it.
Yeah.
Johnny boy.
It's too early for me to kind of have a favorite. Like I'm probably like 7 or 8 episodes in. So, you know, most of the characters, they're not fully developed yet. I haven't seen everybody a lot yet. I mean, the obvious choice would just be going with Jerry. Because, you know, he's the main guy as of now.
And you know what? There's so many, you'll find that when you get through the whole show, there's so many moments of each that you're like, that was hilarious. That was
funny.
Like, there's so many episodes where you're like, okay, even though Jerry's like he's still great, but he might not, but he has this moment, or Elaine has, you know, so it's all good. All right, we got to get back to the conversation.
Woo!
It was fun though.
Yeah, we needed a tangent.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the thing. For me, sitcoms aren't my favorite. So, like, I love, like, a more drama show. So, it's interesting to see that conversation. All right, now, into the Rangers. Guys, don't worry. We'll get back. We're having a good time. All right? Okay, so, very simple. I'll start off with Dom. I want you to go into a strength or something you loved about this team so far in the first 27 games, and a weakness or something that you think needs to improve or else this team is in trouble going forward.
You started with me?
Yeah, go ahead.
All righty. So the defense has been great with Foxy, right? It's been pretty solid. I think Jacob Trouba has really stepped up this year. They both have been blocking a lot of shots. Trouba gets himself a lot of hits, an aggressive defender. And you can go on. I think Ryan Lindgren too. But the thing that scares me is that with all those block shots and stuff, this team does, especially early on, give up a lot of shots on net pretty quickly. And it piles on. And Shesterkin and Georgiev have been great. But my biggest fear is how much can they carry, because there's a lot of wear and tear throughout the season. Is it going to last? Georgiev and Shesterkin can both be a little injury prone when being used too much like that, because, you know, you got to be flexible and stretch and everything. So yeah, that's my biggest one. I know we talked about faceoffs a couple weeks ago and stuff, but this one's more just going to be on defense. It's been good, but it's got to get better. Definitely protect anything from going on goal.
Yeah. And I think clearly during that 7-game winning streak, you saw the defense was a lot better. But before that, there were a lot of issues, not a lot of shots being shot by the Rangers and a lot on them. So yeah, for me, quickly before Sean goes, I think the biggest thing I'm worried about is but the depth a little bit, you know, and I talked about this last week, just that I really do think there needs to be one or two more guys added offensively. Because at times it is a little it seems like the same guys are scoring, you know, and I Zibanejad has to get going. Hedel had like 3 shots the other night against the Predators where you're like, they're not even going on net. Like, I know they're being tipped up, but like, get something to the goalie. I would love to see Kapokako and Lafreniere get to scoring. So those kind of things worry me. And then the one thing that I think I'm really excited for is the resilience of this team. I mean, they've been down so many times and it's harder for me because, you know, they're in every game. Like, even if they're down 2 goals with 15 minutes in the third or down a goal like the other night against the Predators, like they play hard to the end. So I'm really happy with their mindset and the way Gallant has gotten them to where they are. So, and then Sean, you round us out. What is your weakness, strength, and then, like, you know, how can we move forward from that?
The biggest strength for me, no doubt, so far has been goaltending. Mm. It's definitely won us a lot of games where we shouldn't have won. And it's given us chances in games where, you know, we shouldn't have had chances. For example, the last game that we played against the Predators, we lost 1-0. Took a lot of shots that game, but the offense just didn't look great.
Nope.
But that game should not have been 1-0. You know, it was just good goaltending in general. So, yeah, that's definitely my strength. Shesterkin has been playing outstanding. And then in Shesterkin's absence, Georgiev has been looking like he could – be the starting goaltender for a team right now by himself. Yeah. So, and that seems to be the case a lot for the Rangers. Our backup goalies are usually so just disgusting. And like, they go on and they, you know, they make a name for themselves on another team somewhere. So yeah, goaltending definitely has been a strength for me. And this is something we've been talking about a lot, and you guys kind of mentioned it in your weaknesses, but my 2 biggest weaknesses right now for the Rangers. The first one I'll kind of get into because you guys talked about it a little bit is the shots. Shots, we need to be shooting more, and we just need to have better shot selection. A lot of our shots, which, you know, this is the way that the Rangers kind of play, so it's cool. But a lot of our shots, you know, are just kind of thrown on net, which is good. You know, always throw the puck on net. That's how Kreider has probably scored about 16 of his 17 goals this year. Just by deflections or, you know, just shitty shots on net, and then he cleans up the garbage. He's the garbage man up at front. But I just love to see them shooting more. And the person that kind of comes to mind whenever I talk about this is Ryan Strome. You know, I love the guy. He's been around for a while, but man, he struggles with knowing when to shoot and just scoring in general. He's got 5 goals in a year, which is not terrible, I guess, but you know, you kind of want some more goals scored from the line that he's on, and just the expectations we have for him. He should be doing a little better. Again, he's not doing terrible. He's got 18 points, which is 5th best on the team right now, but you know, with just the people around him, he should be playing a little bit better. And another thing with Ryan Strome, which is my 2nd weakness or whatever, or you know what, one more thing I'll get into is Mika Zibanejad. Again, with him, it's the shooting for me. You know, his shots, I feel like half the time he shoots the puck, it doesn't even touch 20 feet close to the net. I mean, every time I see this guy shooting open space, it's like, dude, come on, just hit the net. I'm actually looking at it right now. You would not believe what his shot on goal percentage is. Really? He easily has.
Go ahead, because I was looking at this earlier today. Go ahead.
He has the second highest amount of shots on the team behind Kreider. And he's got easily the lowest shot on goal percentage on the team. He's shooting 7%.
And isn't, if you look at his pass, I'm pretty sure that's like 7% down from last year. I think he was at 14% maybe last year. That's what I was looking at earlier. I'm like, how is it, you know, and it I think it's a lack of confidence or something, because it's just awful. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, we saw him a few years ago, or right before COVID at least. He was one of the better goal scorers in the league. I mean, yeah. He had that 5-goal performance. He was getting a hat trick left and right every other game. Like, I mean, he was playing outstanding. And now he's struggling to even get the puck on the net. I mean, you really hate to see it, because he's a guy that a lot of Rangers fans love. He's a guy that, you know, a lot of Rangers fans kind of consider for being a captain or something like that. But he's just got to ramp up his production. And this kind of brings me into my second weakness for the Rangers. And this is something we've talked about on the show plenty of times too, and that's faceoffs. And this is another big issue I have with Ryan Strome. For somebody who came to the team and is still on the team as a center, your faceoff percentage, he's got a 42% faceoff one right now. And that is just, I mean, you need to be better. If that's one of our biggest weaknesses, again, I love Ryan Strome, but we should maybe look to move on from him. Because again, you know, he's not the best goal scorer. He's not really that great from the dot. I think maybe put him in a trade package for Patrick Kane right now, who is somebody who's been linked to the New York Rangers. He is a New York guy, so it'd be cool to see him from the Rangers. But I actually heard a rumor through the last week or two that the Rangers were thinking about trying to talk to the Blackhawks for him. And he's my favorite Ranger, favorite player in the NHL that's not on the Rangers. So that would be awesome to see him come for my sake. But
it would be good to have Kane. But Sean, I do want to ask, do you have a fear that he's just gotten older and all the, you know, his little bit of his history is concerning? Any fear on that?
So of course, you know, he's gotten a little older, but he kind of brings, he's a big offensive guy, and that's kind of something we need on the team right now.
Yeah.
Cause again, some of the things that we struggle with, he excels in. So why not bring him into the team? He's had a troubled past. I don't want to get too much into like the allegations that he had a bunch of years before that were, like,
were and they were wrong. Dropped.
So hopefully he didn't do it. I hope he's a good guy. But he has been one of my favorite players to watch to report over the last few years. So
the one thing I do want to say though about Strome, you know, you're right. The faceoffs have to get better, because who's going to be the guy that we're going to for faceoffs? You know, Zibanejad is good, but, you know, at times in that game against the Predators, he lost some big faceoffs that could have started power plays off, started offensive zone possessions when you're looking for some kind of momentum, looking to continue momentum.
And that's the thing. Mika, his faceoff numbers aren't great either. Nobody on our team has over 50%.
I can bring that up with the faceoff percentage, like some of the numbers. It's bad. It's frustrating.
And you know, can I just say this too? The two things that have been a Rangers problem as long as I have been a fan, I am telling you, have been faceoffs and not shooting enough.
Yep.
I'm telling you, I swear to you, I swear to God, these have been problems that Rangers fans like us have been talking about for years and years, and it never seems to get better. And I don't understand why, because you've had four coaches over the last 10 years. You've had Tortorella, Vigneault, Quinn, and now Gallant. And it just, I just don't understand why the problem isn't getting better. Now, I will say this. One thing I can honestly say, and both have talked about it, Sean, you mentioned it today, is goaltending has always been a strength of the Rangers. And I know that Lundqvist was there, but Benoit Allaire, the Rangers goaltending coach, is considered the best goaltending coach in the league. He's been with the Rangers for 17 seasons. He's a wizard. And you have guys like Antti Raanta and Cam Talbot, and Keith Kincaid has played good as backup, and so has Georgiev, and now Shesterkin and Lundqvist. Like, you have so many names where you're just like, yeah, they're not the most – some of them are not the most skilled, but they did something with the Rangers that was really special. That one season where Lundqvist gets hurt, Cam Talbot steps in, he was unstoppable and got Vezina talk. So there are these problems that you just can't seem to escape, and these things that always seem to just – make the Rangers the team they are, that gritty kind of team that I think we gained back with Gaudreau and with Reeves that I like. But again, I still think, and I think it's fair what you're saying, Sean, about getting somebody. The one thing that worries me about getting rid of Strome, though, is I do like that tandem of him and Panarin together. It seems like they just had something special, and it, you know, and you're right. Something needs to change faceoff wise. I just don't know what that is. I don't know if it's getting a Kane. And listen, Kane, Dom, you're right. He is getting older, but he just still has that ability.
Exactly.
He'll be a second, third line monster center that will help a team no matter what. You know, so he is getting older. Is it practical? Does he even want to come? Does he have a trip? I don't know what the situation is. It would be great to have him. I don't know what the solution is, but if let's be real, if they don't change something, this is not a championship team just yet. They need to do a little more. And I think a trade at the trade deadline for Tomas Hertl or a Joe Pavelski or a Patrick, like, they have options, but they need to make a move if they want to win. And listen, Georgiev's starting to play better. Do you consider trading him? Maybe. I don't know. There's a lot of questions that
there is because I can see that if they can get more on the left wing or right wing, that would be great. Or if they can get a nice center that, of course, can win faceoffs, because it's frustrating to where, especially talent-wise, like Zibanejad, right? Or even Strome, who we don't really want to let go, I guess. It's just like, where do we go from here? Kevin Rooney, Filip Hedl. You know, we need a center that can step up and give us possession right away and not have to work our tails off to get the puck back without giving up the talent that we have. Because Zibanejad is, you know, with us for a good while. And then Ryan Strome, he pairs up well with Artemi Panarin. It's just, that is, I think the faceoff issue goes back since like 2012, at least.
At least. And that's the other thing, though. You have to weigh those options. The Panarin Strome connection's awesome, but the face-off problem's bad. And the other thing is, you're right too, Dom. Like, the depth right wing is a problem because Dryden Hunt is playing with Panarin and Strome. Yeah. But then the center ice is a problem because you're not winning faceoffs. So there are definitely some holes to this team that I think like the Buchnevich trade might have actually hurt the Rangers in a way because you're losing that depth. But you also got Sammy Blais, who is a good, really good player, and then he tears his ACL. So it's like, it's tough. You know, Chris Drury, I think, did a good job with trying to change the identity of the team, but it's also, did he do a little too much in making it too gritty, and then you're top heavy and your first two lines are really solid, and then your back end is a little bit questionable, but still has gotten the job done a lot of times. It's a weird conversation to have, and it's confusing. So
I think a kind of a problem that also we face is that, which was honestly something that was really good for us within the last few years, is that we're really young.
Yeah.
But now that we're, you know, starting to make strides, it could kind of be an issue because, you know, now we kind of need that veteran leadership, which we have for the most part, but we don't have a terrible amount of vets on the team. I mean, I can't even count all the young guys that we have on one hand. You know, we have Kaapo Kakko, Alexi Lafreniere, Philip Hedl, still young. We got Keandre Miller, Nils Lundqvist. Yeah, the list goes on and on. And, you know, a lot of these guys, most of them are on the same line, actually. So, you know, they kind of just like – and it's cool because it's cool to see the young line, like, when they're succeeding. It's awesome. But, you know, they've been statistically one of our worst lines, which sucks to see. But, you know, they kind of just need more experience. I really think that's it.
Yeah.
Right. And it's been getting better the second year in with this young core. I actually do have a question to ask you guys. Besides what I think we could all agree with in goaltending, I already have my answer, but I want to hear it from Sean first and then Noah. What do you think so far has saved the Rangers into being top three so far in the Metro Division? You know, what's making the Rangers shock everyone by being this high so far this season? It could be like a team stat, team effort, anything. It doesn't even have to be single-handedly someone on the team. Sean?
Besides goaltending, I'd probably just have to go to our stars. I'd say Panarin and Fox are both having really good seasons. Right. Panarin back to ramping up his production. He's got 32 points. He's leading the team. And then Fox, you know, again, I don't know if he's still leading defensemen in points. I know he was within the last week. It might have changed, but, you know, he's didn't skip a beat from last season. You know, he's right back on it. He's right back in the race for the Norris. So, you know, it's just – and I've said it before, you know, just watching him control the play while he's on the ice, it's something to watch. You know, we haven't had a really, really good defenseman like that, you know, kind of in the offensive way as well as Adam Fox.
Correct.
We've had some decent offensive defensemen, like, you know, guys like Tony D'Angelo wasn't even terrible. I'm blanking on the other guy I was thinking of, but, you know, just watching him control the play from the defensive spot is, you know, disgusting, especially in the power play. I love watching Fox go work in the power play. Not to mention, he's leading the team in plus minus by a hefty amount of points, too. So him and Panarin are up there at 9-6, and then the next highest is like 3. So those two are definitely the reason we are performing well.
I think you can't underrate that enough. Or oversell how important it is when your guys who you expect to play that well do, and then Igor has been amazing. You know, he gets hurt, but and Georgiev was a huge concern. And I'm telling you, before he started getting going, like once Igor went down, he was one bad game off of going down to the Wolfpack. Like he was that close. Like they were, you know, fans were talking about it and it just seemed like he was on that track. And then I don't know what happened. And I think it's probably consistency of play and actually getting out there. And I think he would even admit that, but from that third period on where Igor goes down, it was either maybe the Chicago, I forget which game, but from that day on or from that time on, he's been just amazing, you know, and you've seen what he is able to do. So I mean,
Kincaid was like statistically our backup at one point. Last season, he was our backup pretty much. And Georgiev was our third guy.
Yeah. And that's what's so crazy. Like goaltending is something that you have to attribute a lot of the team's success to. But I think I'll just go back to what I said earlier. This team really is not out of any game. I'll go back to the Ottawa game. They're down, I think, 2-0. Ottawa's goalie goes down with an injury in like third period. It's probably 10 to 12 minutes left. Rangers score, Rangers score, Rangers score. They win. Like that kind of game. The Maple Leafs game, where the Maple Leafs, I think, had 40 shots and the Rangers didn't have near that. Igor stood on his head and the Rangers figured out a way to win. And they probably didn't deserve to win the game, but they figured out a way to win. And then there's another game, the Panthers game at MSG. The Rangers did not play well at all. I think they had 18 shots. Igor stepped up and they figured out a way to win. So that is important in the regular season and anytime, figuring out a way to win. But it's come midway through, it's can you take care of opponents, start to show your will, start to show who you are as a team. And that, I think, will come when guys like Zibanejad get going. And hopefully, I really do think that he just needs one like crazy power play shot from the slot or from the point where you're just like, that is your shot. That is where you make your bread and butter, Mika. Like, just do that. I think he's getting in his head trying to, and the one thing I just want to mention before we kind of end it, because we'll go through one last thing before we end it.
Yeah.
I feel like this team just tries to find the perfect shot.
Yep.
If this isn't perfect, I'm passing it. And it's so frustrating. I want to rip my hair out because you see these. No, seriously, you see these times where
I know.
So, you know, and I know we all watch the games and we all do the same thing. And then we text each other and we're like, what are we doing? You know, so, and you mentioned it, Sean, the Strome part where he's like wide open and he passed it. It's like, oh, God. You know, so those kind of things I just think will start to come as long as the confidence and the team building is there. Because Kreider's already starting to slow down off that 17 goal pace. You know, he's shooting a little less and he's, but that's okay. As long as the other guys who are supposed to score start to. All right. And we'll end on this.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. For me, mine is more of a team effort. I'm going to go with what has been saving the Rangers, not just power play goals, but also the penalty kill percentage for the Rangers has been phenomenal.
Good.
They are not giving up power play goals like they are giving them on opposing teams. The league average as of right now for penalty kill percentage is just under 80% at 79.8. The Rangers have an 83.75 success rate with that. That's incredible. They've been outstanding with limiting any damage on power plays and penalties. And, you know, with Reeves and Moore, this team does get penalized a little bit. And the power play percentage as well. I mean, it's just been great. 19 power play goals on 79 opportunities.
You see, that's another issue I have with Strom. He's not even one of those guys that, like, you know, you expect to get a lot of penalty minutes like Trouba or Reeves. But he, I think, if I'm looking at this correct, he's got the second most penalty minutes on the team.
Wow.
Yeah, he does.
You know,
and it's just bad penalties.
I will say this about Reeves too, though. He draws a lot of penalties. Like, if you watch, I mean, he draws a lot of penalties too. So
yeah.
The thing is, Dom, you make a great point. And we haven't even talked about the power play or the penalty kill. It's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Special teams for the Rangers has been really good. And that is another thing in the past, and I'm sure you know this, Sean, in the past 10 years, as long as I've been a fan, the penalty kill was usually really good for the Rangers, and the power play was absolutely an atrocity. So the fact that both are starting to do well really is a testament to Gallant. I love him. I think I don't agree with everything, and you're never going to agree with every coaching decision. I didn't love him not starting Igor in the first game against the Caps. Didn't love it. You know, I know you're away and I know you're going to be home against the Stars the next day. Still didn't love it, but you're going to have those decisions that you're like, I don't love it. But of the coaches of the last 4 years that I've seen, he's my favorite by far. I love his attitude. I love how he is on the bench, how he sticks up for his team. He is encouraging, but also firm. I just think he's a great face and voice for this team, that they need somebody to just kind of push them enough, this young talent. And listen, I didn't hate, but like you're sitting young stars who are trying to just develop. And it's like, I don't know. It felt like he did it a lot and too much to sit Kapokako, and you're just breeding this lack of confidence that I just don't like. But
all right. To the point where it's affecting us today, because I said now it's like those younger players still need that experience, exactly. And it shows. Yep. And you know, and their line, like I mentioned, is statistically they're okay, but they're not doing amazing, and like we'd want them to.
And the thing is, too, Kaapo Kakko, I think, even said as much. I forget his exact comment, but he made it seem like I'm starting to feel myself a little bit, and he still has to improve, but I'm starting to feel who I am because I feel like I'm not worried about, oh, I got to prove myself. And I think David Quinn kind of stunted that a little bit, which bothers me. But all right, the way we'll end this segment, okay, we'll end it on a lighthearted note because I feel like we got a lot of talk in here about what we're kind of looking for, and I love it. If you had to pick, you don't have any jerseys, okay?
Ooh.
Right now, okay, with everybody on the team, who is the person you are going to get a jersey for? And you're basically saying, this is going to be my guy for the next 10, 15 years.
This is a no-brainer for me, Adam Fox. Love it. I don't have an Adam Fox jersey yet, actually. I've got just about every jersey but him. I've got two Panarin, one's a Banajad. One Lafreniere, Rick Nash, you know.
Oh, wow. You got a lot.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, Rick Nash, one of my all-time favorite Rangers, but Zuccarello. Yeah.
Oh. You have a Zook jersey?
Ooh, Zook.
Zook. Dude, I was heartbroken when he got traded.
So was
JT Miller, too. I was heartbroken with JT Miller. Yeah. Wow. But, yeah, I do have a lot of jerseys, and you guys see me wear them a lot. But I don't have a Fox jersey yet. And I was really contemplating. But now that he got, you know, signed to that big extension, now that he's playing out of his mind, I got to do it.
Yeah, agreed. Dom?
I love that, man. I mean, I was actually going to go Artemi Panarin, but I think the Adam Fox with the extension, Sean makes a great point. I don't have a jersey or shirt or hat or anything. I got to start getting it, you know, making money. So got to represent the Rangers in some kind of way, right? By the way, Rangers, first ever NHL team to reach $2 billion. You guys hear about that? Yep. Just a little shout out there. But, you know, I'd go Panarin just because Breadman, you know, the leg kick is easily my favorite player. I like the number, the name, Panarin, number 10 on your back. Nothing too big and bold for me, you know. So I'm a small guy. So it would be cool to wear something like him and an undrafted player who's been a beast since – being a Blackhawk, I would definitely go Panarin.
Yeah, I mean,
and Noah, you don't even have to give your answer. We already know it's Patrick Nemeth.
dude, literally my favorite. Like, you know me too well because I hate him. I love him.
Like, I know.
Yeah, no, Sean knows because he just gets on my nerves.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm glad you guys said the ones you did because they're great answers. I have a Panarin one, and I really want a Fox one, but I gotta go Igor. Igor is just. I mean, he just leaves me speechless sometimes. And he's a beautiful man. Like, just beautiful. I love that guy. I just think he's so calm, cool, collected. He's, to me, that's the guy who right now I'm like, I can't wait to watch him play for 10 more years for the, at least. Right.
And
that'd be easy second choice.
Yeah.
I think me too. It's like getting a Lundqvist. No disrespect to Lundqvist. I'm just, you know what I mean. It's just he could be that icon. I remember when Shesterkin was a backup, more so late when Lundqvist was still around, right? I remember telling a couple of friends at Ryder. Actually, fun fact: it's Brett and Dylan, the Twins. They're huge Ranger fans too. And I was like, "Gosh, Shesterkin is going to be a monster." And they're like, "Yeah." And I knew it from like day two, not day one, day two.
Day two. I love how all three of us, I would say, picked the core of the team. I mean, we're picking, and that's what I love also about the Rangers, that in the past, there really wasn't like a star. You know, you had the Gabricks, you had the Nashes, and they were great, but I wouldn't say they were like superstars. Yeah. I would say those three that we just listed.
We've got three.
Yeah.
In that category. Yep. I mean,
absolutely.
As a forward, freaking Fox as a defenseman, and then your goalies, Igor, like that, those three are just unbelievable.
And all three of these guys are going to be, you know, probably in the running for their respective award for their position. You saw Panarin for the Hart last season. That was last season, right? Where he was a finalist.
Yeah, and it might have been the year before too, honestly.
No, I think the year before, yeah, he got like 95.
It might have been both, though. It might have been both. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Here, I do want to look that up because I'm actually curious, but keep going, Sean.
But Fox obviously won the Norris, and he's in the running again, potentially. I believe he's either first or second. I know it's only midway, not even through the season, but he's first or second in placement for the Norris right now. And then Shesterkin, I believe he's got to be top three at least for the Vezina.
He's up there for the Vezina. Like, the thing is if you're going through those three, you're confident that they can, as long as they stay healthy, they can be your core for years to come. Mm-hmm.
It was 2019. I knew it. I got it right. Panarin had 95 points overall. First season with the Rangers, finished third in the Hart Memorial Trophy race.
Okay.
Who won that? It had to be. Yeah, Draisaitl. Okay. And then yeah. McKinnon. It was Draisaitl and McKinnon. So, I mean, he's in a good company right there.
He wasn't really in the running to win it. I mean, he was third in the voting or whatever. But, I mean, still being a finalist is, you know, pretty good.
It is.
And I think that's about it. I think we kind of ran the gamut. We talked about a lot. But I feel like we got some things cleared up about how we all feel. And I'm glad we got to conversate about the Rangers. You know, because for me, again, like, it's important. You go out of baseball with my Yankees and your Red Sox, your Padres, and then you get a team that you're like, oh, like, thank God, you know? So it's good to be back. And thank you guys for sitting down.
I think it's funny, though. I'm sorry. No, I'm going to say one more thing. You know, when it comes to all the different sports, we all have different teams, except for like basketball. Oh. Noah, I don't know about you. Yeah. But with Anthony for football, it's Colts, Dom, it's Raiders, me, Cowboys, you Jets, baseball. Well, you and Anthony are Yankees, but Red Sox, Padres, the Rangers just bring us all together.
Exactly.
You know, finally.
It's the unification of the Sports Fever. That's what it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that was the Sports Fever. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever platforms you want to. I mean, we're on there. Soon, I will, for an update on the ice cream, I will be going to the ice cream by, you know, walking to my favorite parlor, AJ's Country Cone, and you're going to be in for a treat. I mean, listen, ice cream's the greatest, and it's that time of year. It's Christmas. It's holiday season. It's great. So everyone have a good day. Thank you for tuning in. It was fun to talk with you guys about the Rangers, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes on every podcasting platform that you can think of.